He remains faithful, doesn't He? He is ever the same. He is our rock. So no matter what goes on in life, whatever we experience, we can run to the rock. Amen. We look to the rock who is higher than I. Find your refuge beneath the shadow of His wing in the secret place of the Most High. Would you just join with me for a moment here? Let's ask the Lord to bless today. Father, I just acknowledge today, Lord, that I am just a vessel and that I am poor in spirit and in need of Your grace, Father. And I'm asking that You breathe, Lord, into me and upon this today, that You will open our hearts, our understanding. Father, we need bread from heaven today. And we ask that You would feed us in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Mark chapter 10 today. Our text is from Mark chapter 10, verse 17. It is possible to be convicted but not converted. It's possible to be sorry for your failure to obey God, but never really truly repent. It is possible to acknowledge and confess your sins to God, yet never truly repent in your heart. Don't you hear this today? Repentance is turning away from self and turning to Christ. It means turning away from my ways, thoughts, and accepting God's thoughts so that I might walk in His ways. There's a proverb that says, every man's ways are right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. And we all need to weigh everything, amen, against this word here. If we feel that we have a word or a revelation, God never contradicts Himself, amen. When it's from God, it will be confirmed that it's from God. And it would never go against His word or His character, His person, the way that He is. We know the living word. We come to know Jesus personally through the revelation of His word, right? It's through the word that we come to know the living word, the person of Jesus Christ. And so we got to be careful that we follow God's directions. Amen. He gave us a guide here for our lives, right? To protect us and keep us from error. Now, in this situation, let's begin reading from verse 17. This is speaking of the rich young ruler. And now as he was going out on the road, Jesus, speaking of Jesus, one came running, knelt before Him, and asked Him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call Me good? Interesting response. How many know that Jesus was good? How many know that Jesus was God? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. And honor your father and your mother. How many know that Jesus knows all hearts? He knows what we're thinking. He knows who we really are. And He answered and said to him, teacher. And I'm sure he was pretty excited too, to be able to answer that the way he did. Quite confident in himself as well. Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, what did he do? He didn't get angry. He loved him. And he said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have. Whoa. And give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow Me. But he was sad at his word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And I want us to continue reading on verse 23. When Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, then he looked around and he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Now listen to verse 24. The disciples were astonished at his words, because some people just stop right there, you know, and they try to teach something out of that, out of context. But let's take the whole context here. And he said, how hard it is, right, for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And verse 26, it says, but they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? You see, we need to continue on there, right? Because God is not into the poverty business, by the way. Neither is God in the selfish ambition business. Whatever God does, it's in love. Because he is love. And when we walk in love, we will understand what it is to bless. We will understand that it is really right to give to others, to give to the poor, to bless and not curse. And so, after the disciples here were saying, who can be saved, in verse 26 and verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, listen, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So now they're probably saying, whew. Oh. Because we all thought, man, we're all going to just, you know, where everybody's going to have to give everything away that they own. How many are you of us today are actually ready to do that? Some of us, it's not hard to do because there's not a lot. But it's even more difficult if Jesus were to confront a person who had great riches. Would you agree? Because riches have a way of sometimes of trapping us. And we become dependent, and we become, if you will, we make gods out of things that we possess, rather than trusting in God who provides everything generously. He's a bountiful God. Did not Jesus say, I came that you might have life? So how many know it's not a sin to be rich? It is a sin when you disobey God in what he has entrusted to you, though. Okay? Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, Jesus didn't say, no, you didn't. He said this instead. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, verse 30, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. It is true that God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Why? Because they have learned to really depend upon God. And we don't have to be ashamed of our position in life, no matter what it is. Whether you're rich or poor, you don't have to be ashamed of that. In all things, give thanks to God. What we need to do is learn to be content where we're at. To rest in the Lord. And know that God is going to take care of you. God is with you. God is for you. He is your Father. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. So don't put your faith or trust in bank accounts. Amen. But put your faith in God who owns it all. Who can take care of you. Through it all, He's going to take care of you. Sometimes we will be tested in the area of finances. Sometimes it will appear as though God has forsaken you. Hmm. Has anybody beside myself ever felt that way? But how many know that we don't live by appearance? We don't judge God by what we see. We judge God by His Word. His Word is true, and God's always true to His Word. What we need to do is align with what He says, believe what He says, confess what He says, walk in what He has said. There is power when you read or speak the Word of the Lord audibly to shift things in the spirit realm. I know sometimes that gets criticized and people say, oh, name it and claim it doctrine. If it's a promise from God, name it and claim it. You don't name and claim something God hasn't promised you. Because He's a good Father and He knows what's good for us. But there are times when God will make clear to us what His will is. He will give us a word that is quickened by His Spirit, that is confirmed by His Spirit. We have prayed. We know God had spoken very clearly. And when God gives you a word, stand on the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Declare it. Speak it. Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your thoughts continually. Because God is faithful to complete what He's began. And you're setting something into motion when you agree with what God said, because God does not lie. That's actually not what I even intended on preaching about this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word. But what I want us to take a look here at is this young man was definitely, number one, he was very earnest to talk to Jesus. How many know it's a good idea to talk to Jesus? He was so earnest, he ran to meet Jesus. And he even came in humility. He was earnest and he was humbled himself before God. He kneeled down before Jesus. And also he sincerely wanted to know what he could do to be saved. He said in verse 17, what shall I do to be saved or to inherit eternal life? So he was earnest, right? He was humble, and at least he humbled himself, and he was sincere when he had asked Jesus what he must do to be saved. And in addition to that, he was even a clean and moral person. He lived a clean life. What did he say in verse 20? All these commandments I have kept from my youth. And you know what? Jesus didn't even contest that. He didn't say, no, you didn't. But what Jesus was doing, he was getting beyond the surface. And he was getting to the heart of the man. Because you can have an outward expression of faith and piety and goodness and morality, and yet on the inside, be corrupt. Be corrupted by riches. Be corrupted by inward thoughts and strongholds and unforgiveness and bitterness and whatever else can get in there. Hatred. Jealousies. And so, just because we do everything externally in allegiance or in alliance with what God says does not mean that our hearts are necessarily right. In other words, you can be convicted by God. You can be sincere about your confession that, God, I'm sorry that I sinned against you, but never really be converted. You see, if we do not come to a place where we have been converted in our hearts, then you are not in a position to be welcomed into glory. God alone qualifies the person for glory. Jesus said, you must be transformed. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of God. It's not enough to have sincerity or good intentions or live right even. But you must be transformed by the power of God. Amen? And God transforms those who go beyond just being sincere to making a deliberate step of faith, of obedience. to agree with what he says and to act upon what he says, to the degree that if I am in sin, I no longer sin. I no longer choose that path. I change my mind. I have repented. Remember Ebenezer Scrooge? He had repented, didn't he? He didn't just say, "I'm sorry," because you can be sorrowful and go to hell. But true repentance will have evidence. There will be actions to demonstrate that what you say and what you believe are real. Amen. You know, we can pull the wool over anybody's eyes, but you can never do that over God. Amen. God knows the heart. He knows the person. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Because we usually think that we're doing pretty good, and we don't see it. And when we're in deception, we don't even recognize, we don't realize we're in deception. Come on now. And if you see a brother and sister that are in deception, pray for them. So here this man was earnest, humble, sincere, morally pure. And he certainly didn't lack desire, did he? Or eagerness. And he was wise enough to know that he was going to the right source. He went to Jesus. What was lacking here, folks? He says one thing is lacking. I want to tell you what it is. He was lacking the love of God that would motivate the heart to self-sacrifice. In other words, he needed to trust God unconditionally. When you come to a place where you lay it all down, when you are through with selfishness and sin in your life, you're willing to let it go. You're willing to let it die. You're willing to put it behind you so that you may take up the cross that God has called you to bear and to come after him and follow him the rest of your days. That is true repentance. It's not enough to be sincere. It's not even enough, folks, to confess your sins. True repentance requires an action. God, I'm sorry I did that. And to prove my allegiance to you, my loyalty to you, I am going to make a change. Unfortunately, salvation had come to this young man, but he had put more faith and trust in his riches than he did in God who possessed it all. You never know. Jesus might have said, I actually didn't want you to give everything away. I was simply testing to see if you would trust me unconditionally. Because we do. We put conditions on that, don't we? We trust God to this degree or to that level. And as long as he does what we think he should do for us, we will trust him. But when God does things a little differently in our lives, and he does things that may go counter grain to what we had hoped would happen in our lives, then what happens is we start to say, God, what's up with this? In other words, when life is going well, when things are smooth, when things are easy, it's easy to trust. But when things get difficult, when trials come, when difficulties in life assail us, that's the real test of whether or not we are going to fully trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and lean upon his word. Amen. We rest in him. So unfortunately, this is true of so many today that because of great riches, they lose out on the greatest treasure of all. God has come that we might have eternal life, that we may live forever with him in paradise. The Lord did not come to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. And folks, you cannot put conditions on God's calling, on God's instruction to you. You must say yes, because anything else comes of evil, folks. God is wise. He's holy. His ways are always best. And we've got to come to a place of surrender. Surrender. That is true repentance. I am no longer my own, like Paul said, but I'm now the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm His, and He's mine. I have shifted out of what was into what is. I am now a child of God, and I'm going to follow my Lord. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? He's the way. Follow Him. If God asks you to do something that's counter to what you may want to do, folks, I would encourage you to do what He says. It always works. Sometimes we have to learn the hard lessons. He's got His hand on our lives. He loves us. But there are people who are in delusion. They're in deception. They have received a counterfeit. They have been told by somebody that they're born again and they're not. They had a false conversion. True conversion has evidence. True conversion has fruit. Come on. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. It's a new day, a new beginning. A new way. Hallelujah. Unconditional trust. See, he wasn't willing to turn away from his ways to fully follow God's ways. He wanted to do it on his own terms, but he didn't want to go all the way. He was unwilling to forsake his God, which was money, that he might follow Christ. Therefore, he could not enter the kingdom of God. Now, turn to Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at another example. This is a good example of what real repentance looks like. How many remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, you come down from that tree. For I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Lord had passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, for I'm going to your house today. Now, here's a man that was anything but moral and upright. He was greedy and dishonest, and yet he also earnestly sought the Lord. So verse 1 of chapter 19 of Luke. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And they were despised by the people, these tax collectors, because they had often cheated them. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Wow, how cool is that? So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, the people, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Aren't you glad that Jesus was a friend of sinners like you and I? They didn't recognize they had a beam in their own eye, right? And they're trying to take the sliver out of his. And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. Now the Jews would probably say, aren't we all sons of Abraham? Biologically, that was true. But Abraham was the father of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him as righteousness. He was declared righteous because he had faith. He believed God. And so that's why he said today, you know, salvation has come, because he's a son of Abraham, son of faith. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was rich. He desired to see Jesus. He was diligent to get a look at Jesus. He responded joyfully at the call of Jesus. But he, unlike the rich young man, was willing to do whatever it took to make things right with the Lord. And the question we need to ask ourselves today is, are we willing to do whatever the Lord says in our lives? You see, he realized that having God's favor on his life was more important than all the riches of the world. Because if you have God's favor, you are rich beyond comprehension. I mean, know that we are the richest people on the planet. Because we have Christ. Because we have salvation. Because we have eternal life. Because we have repented of our sins. And we have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no looking back, no shrinking back. I have decided. I have made up my mind. I have repented. And as Zacchaeus, he had truly woke up. The light came on and he realized that this is my opportunity to be free. This is my opportunity to be forgiven. This is my opportunity to get my heart right with God. And he made the right decision and he obeyed from his heart. And it was demonstrated by what he did. How many know that faith without works is dead? I remember when I worked for Panasonic, there was a young woman there that I used to eat lunch with a lot. And she was just a woman full of the Spirit. And we used to sit around and we used to just read our Bibles during lunch and discuss, you know, things and questions. And she had met a woman who had began to work in her department. And she asked her, "Are you a Christian?" Or she said something to the effect that, "I'm a Christian." And you know, she says, "Well, I would really like to believe that, but if you don't mind, I'm going to take a little time to watch your life." You know what? That is a very honest response, isn't it? How many know that that's the reality? That is the acid test. Isn't that true? That you will be known by your obedience. You will be known by your love. Because true obedience is out of love, not out of obligation. And when we are corrected by the Lord, because we love Him and we love people, we receive it. Not always gladly, but we receive it. Why? Because His way is the way of love. How many know that love is not just an emotional ooey-gooey feeling? Has anybody ever gotten in trouble because of ooey-gooey feelings? Are you with me today? Emotionalism is not always love, folks. We got to stop making emotional decisions. I got to stop making emotional decisions. Because real love sometimes is tough. And folks, how many know it's not easy? It's not easy to confront things, right? It's not easy to confront things in our own lives. I don't like it, you know, when I'm not living for God, because I really want to please God. I want to live right. I want to walk right. It's not easy to be, you know, to be corrected. But people that really love you will not flatter you and make you feel good when you're not in, when you're in error. But they will be strong. They will be true to follow through. And you may go away huffy for a little while, but Pray that God will do a work of grace in the heart. You see the repentant heart, the humble heart, the receptive heart, the teachable heart, God works with. He gives His true grace to the humble. Okay. Zacchaeus demonstrated true repentance. It's not enough just to be sincere. But true repentance requires action. He turned from his ways. You know, he came to a place where he realized that it would profit nothing if he gained the whole world but lost his soul. You know why Jesus saved Zacchaeus? Because he saw into his heart. He saw that Zacchaeus was for real. I think all of us probably at one time in our lives have given God lip service. You know what I'm saying? We were saying things, but we didn't really count the cost. We didn't really know what we were saying. We've been found ourselves in moments of distress or terror or whatever. And we said, oh God, if you just do this for me, I'll do this for you. We start making deals with God. God sees the heart. And God, because He's merciful, He'll get you out of it a lot of times. He'll say, okay, I'm going to set you free. How many knew that Peter thought that he was doing God a favor too? He thought he was right with God. Peter didn't see himself. Peter had to fall on his face to realize that his heart really wasn't right with God. Peter thought that in himself he was righteous. He thought that in himself he could live for Christ. He thought that just having good willpower and resolve to do the right thing, you know? I mean, one moment Jesus is praising Peter, remember? Because he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the next moment he's rebuking him. He said, get behind me, Satan. Because the next thing out of his mouth, he said, Lord, I'll never let you go to the cross. And he didn't realize what he was doing. He didn't realize that quickly had been in alignment with Satan. And so what he did is he took him out and he broke him. Peter had to be broken. He had to be taken down so that God could put him back together and build him back up. And folks, I want to tell you that we're all going to go through brokenness. We're all going to go through trials. We're all going to go through things that don't seem to make sense, things that we can't understand. But God loves His people so much that He will do whatever it takes to get us into position that we might be healed and that we might be beautiful for Him. You need to listen today what the Holy Spirit is saying. Wow. How many remember that old spiritual song? It was, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And the song concludes, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus. You see, it's a walk, isn't it, through our lives. A walk of obedience. Even when we have to make the painful decisions, we have to do those things that are painful. We must be true to Him who is true. Because we're not loving one another. And you don't truly love yourself, folks, I tell you, if you will not truly repent of your sin. How many know that the wages of sin is death? It produces death. And you know sin is contagious too. So we've got to all be honest today. Would you bow your heads? God's speaking to someone this morning. I know it. And He's asking you, will you be real with Me? Will you be truthful with Me? Will you truly give Me your life? that I might give you my life, that you might live. Will you step out of death today into life? Will you surrender your heart, that I might fill you with my Holy Spirit and give you a new beginning?